Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 at 15, Hummel's Wharf online. SunburyMotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties, which makes such a difference. Yeah, maybe the budget says, yeah, that's great, except the budget says I need to go this route. Well, you want to go someplace that, in the end, will have the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And that's so important to the buying experience. Sunbury Motors, and of course, great technicians as well. They do a fabulous job in the service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Okay, so let's get to the play-by-play call of the day. Notre Dame, they only played six guys last night, but they played the right six.
Krzyzewski dives to the bucket and dunks it home.
Here's the thing. This, not only a Notre Dame victory, but a victory for the ACC as they win the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Big time.
And it's the last one for the foreseeable future. It'll become the ACC-SEC Challenge next year. I'm trying to think, who has the rights to the SEC network? Do you know? Oh, that's ESPN. Who has the rights to the ACC network? Ah, that's right, ESPN. Okay. So I make sure I had it right as to what the reasoning was. Again, the Big Ten, they had to eliminate the Big Ten ACC Challenge because if it's a home game starting next year for the Big Ten, it would be, you know, their networks are Fox, BTN, Peacock, CBS. Nope. Can't do it. This is an ESPN creation, so that is why. In the end. All right. Brett McMurphy in just a few minutes. By the way, on Monday's show, Dick Vermeil's going to join us.
Bingo!
That greatly excites me.
Whew, about time.
You, sir, are my hero!
I mean, last time you were this excited was when you found out you still qualified on the Talk to the Magic radio.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, Matt, no. Hey, by the way, and Doug was the one that turned me on to this. Do you see who Charleston Southern's new head football coach is?
I did not.
Gabe Gardenia. Gabe played at State High. Then when Frank was my color analyst on basketball for a few years, moved out to Penns Valley, just outside of State College, and Gabe was there. And then Gabe eventually became the long snapper at Alabama. But Gabe Gardenia, whom I have known since he was a little guy, is Charleston Southern's head football coach. How about that? You're going to have a press conference tomorrow at 10 to introduce him. So, Good for Gabe. Good for Gabe. I'm thrilled for him. He's worked very hard to get to this point. So, Gabe Gardenia, new head football coach at Charleston Southern. Mazi Smith, who had the felony charge against him. October 7th incident. It is carrying a concealed weapon, which is a felony. Jim Harbaugh has made it official. He's playing.
Okay.
Shocking.
Look, I don't know the circumstances surrounding it. Okay. I don't know. So it's one thing for me to sit here and say, well, I don't know what the circumstances are. Now, how was it found? What were the circumstances as to why it was found? I think it all started with a traffic stop. So what was surrounding the traffic stop? Well, I mean, there's a lot of things you got to ask here, you know, before you make any pronouncements about. But the problem you do have here is, oh, okay. So he gets a felony charge a week after Michigan State had a felony charge and six misdemeanors for the tunnel incident, which you were calling for legal action when that happened, which Jim was. Remember, Jim called for legal action.
Yes, he did.
And that's the issue you have with this. That's what makes it a little bit different. We'll take a break. Brett McMurphy from the Action Network next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Very pleased to be joined from the Action Network, one of the best in the business, Brett McMurphy. Brett, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, great to be with you again.
Okay, so let's start with the Michigan news today because it's multifaceted. Blake Corum, unfortunately, is out for the year with the knee injury. Tried to give it a go against Ohio State. And then there's the Mazi Smith situation. What have you learned about each?
About the Smith situation, to be honest, not very much. There's a million things going on, and that's not what I'm tracking. You know, obviously losing Corey is not really a surprise, but the fact that he is officially out for the year with the knee injury, he's going to undergo season-ending knee surgery. Obviously, is a blow to the Wolverines. I don't think they needed him in Indianapolis this week, but certainly, you know, in the playoff, if they want to get past the first round this time, you know, having somebody with his talent would obviously be a huge boost to them. So we'll have to see how that impacts them. They were fine without him against Ohio State. I know that.
No, no question. Got Donovan Edwards, because when Penn State played Michigan, Jack Ham and I were doing our preview going into before we did the game, and we both said the guy to watch for was Donovan Edwards. So now
you're
let's
right.
get to yes, yeah. So let's get to now the coaching news part of it. Florida Atlantic opened up. Cincinnati is open. What took Florida Atlantic in the Tom Herman direction?
His success at Texas and Houston. I mean, he's, you know, 71% winning percentage. He's been to a bowl game every year. He's been to two Power Five bowls, two New Year's Six bowls and won those. You know, Tom wanted to get back into coaching, and I think what makes him attractive for Florida Atlantic is, you know, Tom was 22-4 in Houston at a group of five, so he knows how to coach when you don't have all the resources. Obviously, he had those at Texas, but people forget he's 32-18 at Texas. Some guy named Steve Sarkisian right now, he's two games over 500. So,
right.
You know, you can kind of spin it however you want, but I think they got a great coach. He's an incredibly innovative offensive mind, former offensive coordinator at Ohio State, at Iowa State. I think he'll do great there. He'll be in a conference. You know, they're moving to the American. I think he'll be successful there, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him jump back up to the Power Five level in a year or so.
Well, it did a world of wonder for Lane Kiffin to go from there to then eventually
Absolutely.
Get back to,
yep.
to Ole Miss. That's certainly part of it right there. Next up, Cincinnati's open. There have been some talk that Brian Hartline might interview for that, the Ohio State wide receivers coach. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, he sent out the tweet basically saying, I'm staying at Ohio State. So that usually means one of two things. one, he turned down an offer, or two, he didn't get an offer. I'm going to go with right. he didn't get an offer. Because this
agree.
Early in the game, you wouldn't come out and say that. I don't know where they're going to go. That's the most fascinating opening that's still out there, because they're making the move to the Big 12. It's obviously more attractive than it was 6 months ago. And you've kind of – Cincinnati's got that, you know, kind of that Midwestern vibe, that Midwestern feel. So does that kind of limit your candidates? Do you want to stick with the, you know, or do you want to maybe go for a wild card that's not from that area? I really don't know what direction they're going to go, but it seems like they're looking at a lot of guys, you know, in that Big Ten Midwestern footprint.
Without playing a game, Auburn got eliminated from the bowl picture today.
Yes.
So, and believe me, I saw
better
Auburn up close
year.
And personal. Yeah, better luck next year. I saw them up close and personal. They didn't deserve one. But New Mexico State did get the waiver, didn't they, Brett?
They did, yeah. And for people that remember Jerry Kill when he was at Minnesota, he yep. just finished his first year at New Mexico State, and the Aggies will be making only their second bowl trip in 61 years. So I talked to Jerry earlier this week, and I said, I go, you're 60-61, right? And he goes, I'm 61. And I said, so New Mexico State's only been to one bowl game since you've been alive. And he goes, well, that's one way to put it. So good news for him. And look, I know, you know, there's a lot of people say there's too many bowls. You know, we can debate that. But, you know, look, I have no problem with a team that's got five wins, that's fighting to get to a bowl game. I'd rather see that team in a bowl than an Auburn or a Power Five school that didn't meet their expectations and only has five wins, like a Texas A&M, and see them go out and play in a bowl that they don't care about. At least they're really going to care about it and have a great time.
New Mexico State and Rice, by the way, are the two that are now guaranteed spots. Buffalo needs to beat Akron tomorrow to get, obviously, in. If they lose, it's UNLV. So now let's get to the Penn State situation with the Rose Bowl.
You buried the lead. I thought that was like our lead segment, but go ahead.
I know it was the lead segment, but I didn't want the other stuff to get lost in the shuffle. How about that?
I understand.
Yeah, so now we're going to get to the lead, and that is Penn State. there is the quote, the caveat in the selection process. Last year, Ohio State went. They are allotted 20,000 tickets for the Rose Bowl because as the Big Ten representative, they only sold 13. They sent 7 back. That doesn't usually happen. So how is it happening that Penn State has the door open to them to go to Pasadena?
Well, it's kind of twofold. Ohio State has kind of not so subtly let the Rose Bowl know that, you know, maybe we should go somewhere else. And I think the Rose Bowl's fine with that. I've been told the Rose Bowl, you know, was looking at Penn State anyway. And basically, you know, again, if one of the top four teams lose and Ohio State moves up into the top four, this is all a moot point. But actually, it's not. Excuse me. If Ohio State gets into the playoff, Penn State's into the Rose Bowl. So it looks pretty solid right now. Penn State would be in the Rose Bowl no matter what. But if Ohio State does not get into the playoff, the Rose Bowl has the opportunity to choose a team in a similar ranking neighborhood. They are not locked into the highest-ranked team if the Big Ten champ is not available. And, you know, Ohio State would have been 3 of the past 5 years. Penn State, you know, you may have the countdown to how many days it's been since you've been to the Rose Bowl, but it's been several years. And I think that they want Penn State. They want some new blood. More than likely, it's going to be Washington. It could be USC. So that'll be a great trip for the Nittany Lions. If somehow, some way, Penn State does not end up in the Rose Bowl, something weird happens this weekend, you know, they're still in a great spot. They would, at that point, be headed most likely to the Cotton Bowl. The short version is the Orange Bowl takes the highest ranked team from the Big Ten in the SEC. So if Penn State does not go to the Rose, there's probably going to be Alabama out there or someone else from the SEC that would rank above Penn State that would keep Penn State out of the Orange. But as we talk right now, these things get very fluid and change a lot in the last 48 hours. As we talk right now, I would look. If you're going to buy a plane ticket, make sure it's refundable. But I would absolutely get a plane ticket if it's refundable because I think Penn State's going to be in Pasadena, and I will be there no matter what teams are there, and it's one of my favorite bowl trips of the year.
Well, good. I'll get to see you then if that's the case.
Absolutely.
Which I'm looking forward to. So Ohio State, if form holds this weekend, is it the Orange Bowl that's the most likely destination for Ohio State?
Yeah, the Orange Bowl has to take. It's in their contract. They have to take the highest-ranked available team from the SEC, from the Big Ten, or Notre Dame after the college football playoff is filled, after the Rose Bowl picks its team, and after the Sugar Bowl picks its team. So after all those 8 teams are gone, Ohio State at number 5 is the highest-ranked available team, they would automatically go to the Orange Bowl. That's not a negotiation. That's not a they can say, well, we don't want to go to the Orange. We want to go to the Cotton. They are locked into the Orange. It's different
right
than the Rose because the Rose has the opportunity to make a choice. The Cotton does not. So there was earlier in the year when Penn State looked like they would be the highest-ranked team of those mix. I was projecting Penn State into the Orange. But now with this twist, by the Rose picking Penn State, it automatically puts Ohio State in the Orange.
Gotcha. And then Tennessee would probably...
Either Clemson or North Carolina.
Right, yeah. Yep, and Clemson plays North Carolina this weekend. The 12-team playoff, one thing that the top four highest-ranked conference champions get the bye. That means Notre Dame can never get the bye under the 12-team playoff. And I have to give you credit. You threw UConn's name in there. That was I loved
it.
That was
UConn
good.
UConn and
loved,
Army, too. They can't get a bye.
I grew up in Connecticut. I thought that was great.
Okay. So, there was one person liked it. So when they determined that's how it was going to be, the initial reaction was Notre Dame screwed. Notre Dame screwed. They can't get a bye. Guess what? Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame's AD, was on the committee that came up with that plan. They have no issues with that. Why is that? Because Notre Dame's looking at it this way. If we're one of the top eight teams, we will host a first-round game on campus.
Yep.
And the amount of money that will bring to the South Bend area. Number two, if we're good enough, we're going to win that game, and now we're in the final eight with everybody else. Number three, we can stay an independent and do our own thing, and we're fine with it. So they would rather stay an independent as opposed to getting a potential first-round bye and be joining a conference. So Notre Dame is 100% behind this. People that think it's a negative towards Notre Dame, they're missing the boat, because Notre Dame's absolutely for this and loves this. And, hey, I'm just glad we get this sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Completely agree with that. The contract then will then restart for 26. We expect multiple TV bidders at that point and multiple partners to carry it. Does that open potentially the door to 16?
No, they're going I know I pissed off the playoff people. Yeah, I tweeted after they announced the 12 team. I said, when do we go to 16? No, they're locked in. They will be locked into 12 teams. They'll probably make it another 12-year deal. So if my Oklahoma State education is paying off here, 26 and 12, we would probably be a 12-team playoff through like the 38th season. Yeah, they will not. I don't see them going to 16 until the next deal expires. You're right, though. They're going to have multiple bidders, and they will have multiple partners. The way the Super Bowl is on a different network every year, they will absolutely have multiple partners. What will be fascinating to see is it ESPN? Is it Fox? Is it NBC? Is it all of the above? Does Amazon try to get in on this? All I know is they're going to make $450 billion more by doing this. So that's why they're expanding.
I'm shocked that money's a key factor. All right.
First time ever, money's a factor in college athletics.
I mean, you and I are in for the passion of it.
Exactly.
Brett, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Hopefully we can talk again shortly.
You got it. See you in Pasadena.
You bet. Brett McMurphy, Action Network. Reginald Walker, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour here on the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve is in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Fabulous service department and sales staff, all ready to serve you. And if you want to join that service department, make sure you call Todd at 286-7746 as... more are looking for him right now.
So, and before we get to Reginald, any complaints from you? Or a lot of people that listen to the show exist to find out what you're whining about next.
No, I that was a lot to unpack there from Brett there in that final half of the interview. My biggest thing was Ohio State actually told the Rose Bowl maybe we should go somewhere else.
Well, but
that's,
you know,
amazing.
What, but you know what?
I've just never heard. I mean, it makes sense, I guess, considering what we've heard with the with the ticket sales before. But that's just.
I've heard of it before. I mean, it's. you know, they went last year. They went a couple of years before that. And, you know, they probably feel like going down to the Orange Bowl, that they can get a boatload of people who want to go down to Miami. It's an easier trip. I mean, to be honest with you.
Right.
I mean, it is an easier trip.
It is.
And The Orange Bowl is I've worked two of them. I've announced one. I worked in the booth in the 85 National Championship game with Bob Murphy, the old Mets announcer, and Howard Schnellenberger. So I worked with them on that broadcast. And then, of course, I did the play-by-play of the Florida State game and the 2006 Orange Bowl game on January 3rd. It's a great bowl game. Beautiful stadium. Great bowl. Now, the one I ended up, the 85 game was in the old Orange Bowl, which is where the Marlins Stadium is now. But, yeah, it's, I think that what they did was what Ohio State did was, hey, look, we prefer to go to the Orange Bowl anyway. If we don't make the playoff, we'd prefer to go there. The idea is they still think they can make the playoff, which they can. I'm telling you, TCU loses. I don't think they make it. I think Ohio State does.
Not only that, and I'm not so sure USC wins tomorrow.
Well, no, USC may lose tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, Utah's really good. Remember, Utah was ranked in the top 10 to start the season. What botched them up was that loss to Florida early. Their losses have been close losses. But, yeah. And I think it's just their way of saying, hey, look, we'll just make everything easier on you, okay? We've been going out there, and, you know, it wouldn't hurt if we didn't make the playoff to have a change of destination that's still a New Year's Six Bowl. How about that? And as the five team, they've got some power to do that. Okay. We'll see how the weekend plays out. Starts tomorrow. USC, Utah, in Las Vegas. And by the way, they'll be in Las Vegas again next year for the Pac-12 championship game. Let's bring in Reginald Walker now. Joining us. Not in Charlotte, still on the road in New York this week. Sir, welcome. Great to have you back.
Stevie Jones. We are on the cusp of bowl season, my man.
I know we are. I'll find out on Sunday. All 41. In fact, I went by the on the way over to basketball, saw a little bit of the Clemson football practice. They're getting ready to be in Charlotte to play North Carolina on Saturday night, so I saw that on Tuesday. But the college football playoff is going to go to 12. With all the twists and turns over the last 18 months with this, from Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, the Rose Bowl, to everything, they're going to go to 12 and at least 24 and 25. Your thoughts?
It was inevitable. It was what was going to happen anyway. Look, I love the Rose Bowl. We all do. We all know the pageantry and the tradition and the magnitude of being a part of that game and what it means for college football. They were not going to win this battle. See, I think the easiest way to lay it out for some people to understand would be, and you and I know exactly where I'm going with this, the old Big 12 and the way that Oklahoma and Texas orchestrated everything. They got a bigger share of the pie. They got, you know, more votes or more say on this or that. All of these different things, it was about catering to them. Well, the problem became Nebraska got sick of it. Colorado got sick of it. Everybody gets sick of it, and they go, we're out of here. Okay? And what the Rose Bowl had to understand was the TV partners, in this case ESPN and ABC, right, with the New Year's Six, they had to understand and accept that ESPN and ABC was not going to be willing to have that conversation with the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Peach Bowl. They were not going to have those conversations with all of those other conferences and try to tell them, well, yeah, but the Rose Bowl is a little bit more special than you are. Good luck with that. No one is going to do that. They would have hung you the Rose Bowl out to dry first, and with that, the Rose Bowl would have to understand if all of a sudden you're on a different TV platform. We saw that with the old BCS when it was on Fox. It doesn't work out very well in terms of viewership.
Well, there's another element, too, that has not been brought up. I know it's a bidding process, so I'm not saying the Rose Bowl bid for the title game. But the title game this year is at SoFi in Los Angeles. It's not going to be at the Rose Bowl.
No, and they won't listen. That's where the money comes in, right?
Yes.
The bidding every year, because you got to pay money to bid. You got to pay money when you get the game, right? All of this is about getting money into the system that is the college football playoff. The one thing people have to remember, and I don't know what the exact numbers are, but you got an entire committee of people. They are not doing this 1,000% free. Bill Hancock, who I have spoken to, his full-time job is the chair of the College Football Playoff Committee. He ain't doing that for free. So that's another aspect of where all of this money comes from. And so at the end of the day, they're going to continue to put that thing out for bid because that's where the money is. Teams are saying, or I should say venues are saying, we're going to give you this much and create these things if you bring the game to us.
Well, the College Football Playoffs Incorporated. That's why I don't think people realize that. It's incorporated. And look, I give them credit for this. I think they just looked at them and said, hey, look, you're either in or we'll go with the Citrus Bowl, right? Because guess what? There are other people that want this, and people only want to see the games. And I think they basically called the Rose Bowl's bluff, and the Rose Bowl, I think, did the smart thing and said, okay, what do we need to do?
Absolutely. I mean, let's look at the landscape, right? What's been the issue even since the playoff has been in play? Lack of viewership, lack of interest on the West Coast.
Yes.
To your point, they would have easily gone East Coast, gone to Florida, and said, these people over here care a lot more anyway, so we're just going to stick to the East Coast.
All right. I mean, they've tried to. I mean, they put one title game at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. They're going to SoFi this year. But the problem is with four, since 2016, you have not had a team west of Norman, Oklahoma in it, which I think has diminished the interest in it out west.
Which is also why I think, at the very least, we are going to see. I think if USC wins on Friday night and TCU wins on Saturday, I still think USC will end up the number three team. And I know that sounds crazy. I know that a lot of people are going, but how? They don't have them ranked ahead of them now, and they're both going to play fairly comparable teams in the conference championship game. You're right. But the brand that is USC, to get a USC-Michigan kind of game in a college football playoff, is something that they would love to have in college football.
Yeah, and they would throw that thing in the Fiesta Bowl. All right,
perfect.
I think that would be
spot.
The Fiesta Bowl, because Georgia would end up going to the Peach Bowl.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, so because they wanted the number one seed gets preference on where to go, and guess what? The Dogs are playing a home game. They are not playing a road game. They're playing at home.
And that'll work out fairly well for TCU as well. Dallas
sure.
to the Peach Bowl is an easy trip.
No, and they'll get, you know, believe me, and TCU, their allotment of tickets will go like that because first time through, if they were to get through. So now let's do a hypothetical. If TCU were to lose, would they still make it?
You know, that's interesting. I think we've got that's a real problem. I don't think they will, and I think the main reason why is because of the branding piece of it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think
you got that right. The branding part is, you are so right. I agree with you.
Ohio State's a big brand, right? Alabama's a huge brand, and they would love to sneak Bama back in there. Now, Bama at four against Georgia, that's a game we haven't seen this year. I don't know if they would press for that. I think they would, almost in a backhanded way, want that to be a title game. But Bama against Georgia in the Peach Bowl, that is a perfect recipe to sell about 1 million tickets in about 30 seconds. And
wow.
So, yeah. To your point, that's what would be out there. But I think the Bama thing is a little bit too hard for them to sell. I think Ohio State would be the one that sneaks back in there because of what they have done all season long, only lost the one game. They've got the win, obviously, over Penn State, which is a top eight team as well. I think that'll be the difference if they're deciding between Ohio State and Alabama. They'll look at what that best win is, and it looks like, obviously, based on the committee's current rankings, that best win belongs to Ohio State.
The only quibble I had with the penultimate rankings happened to be I know Tennessee doesn't have Hendon Hooker anymore, but there's 7, Alabama 6. Alabama had their shot at him, didn't win. They have the same record. That's the only one I kind of look at and say, well, you know, doesn't head-to-head count? You played. They won.
It does. It does, and it should. I think that's the committee's way of saying, because they're supposed to look at the totality and what the team is right now. I think that's their way of saying, Hendon Hooker is no longer there.
Right.
We don't think they can beat them without Hendon Hooker.
Agreed.
Now, how can you quantify that? Neither one of us has the answer. But that's the only justification for it. The problem is with this committee, and it's not just this year's committee. It's since we've had a committee, which is why I don't like committees in college athletics. The way in which they apply the criteria that they tell us is out there, they never clarify that. And that's where everybody has their issues.
It's a moving target every year. It's what they come up with every year is just to fit what they're doing. There's no A, B, C, D. It's in this particular year, this is what we think fits because this is what we're doing.
Right. And I've said this is my favorite one to explain to people. Look at the dynamics of the committee. One of the people on that committee's background is what? Television.
Yep.
There's a reason why this is all done this way.
Sure.
Because they're trying to make sure people watch it.
Well, they want ratings. And with all due respect to TCU, all due respect. So let's go back to your point about brand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last year, who was number one in the nation in TV viewership? Ohio State.
Bama. Oh, Ohio State. That's right.
Yeah. Ohio State. Ohio State was one. I think Michigan was 2. Alabama was 3. Penn State was 4.
Yep.
And it's pretty close to the same this year in terms of TV viewership. TCU is not in there.
No.
And again, so that goes back to we're talking about brand. I mean, now that's an unfair. It's unfair for TCU, but it's a fact of life.
It is a fact, and you hit the nail on the head because, I mean, look, we have to look no further than last week. The highest-rated game, obviously, on Fox this year, and I believe in college football, was Michigan-Ohio State.
That's right, just as it was last year. Yep.
Absolutely correct.
There's 17 million viewers this year. They actually had 2 million more this year than last year. It's 17 million viewers this year for
that game.
That's
a lot of people.
You know, Penn State,
150,000 probably in the stadium.
Right. And Penn State, I think, had at least 5, maybe 6 games this year of 3.5 million viewers or more. I mean, they're on Fox Sports 1, which never gets a rating. Fox Sports 1 never gets a rating. Penn State, Michigan State got 2 million viewers, which I think is the number one for Fox Sports 1 the whole year.
Yes, that is correct.
Right. I mean, it's unreal. By going to 12, how do you like the idea of home fields in the opening round?
I think it's good, but I think it should be based on – I think they need to reward conference champions in that regard.
Okay.
Like, give me a reason to play for something, right? I think that's the biggest issue that we have in college athletics is – guys are playing for something, but they don't really know how to get what they're trying to get to, right? Tell me what I need to do to get a certain thing. So if you tell me, okay, when the seeding comes out, the 1 through 12, if I'm one of the, quote, bottom 8 or whatever, the way I get a home game is by being a conference champion, not by being ranked ahead of, because we know what's going to happen. The rankings and the numbers will get manipulated.
Well, now let's get to this part. We know there'll be more money, especially in 26, when you would expect multiple networks to be involved in carrying it, which is the norm for any championship tournament, whether it's the NBA, NFL, baseball, hockey, college basketball, okay? College football is the only one that has one. All right. So in 26, you expect multiple bidders, multiple networks carrying it. Do the student athletes get a personal cut of that?
They should. I know they're going to hold off as long as they can to not do it, but they should.
Yeah. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they want to do with it. And something that I know we'll ask some other people along the way. Well, it's going to be a new era. always a pleasure. We will talk about some of those bowls next week, because on Sunday will be the full reveal.
Looking forward to it, my man. I think those are going to be, obviously, we get some non-traditional matchups at this time of year every year, so those are always fun to watch.
I think they're a lot of fun to watch. My man, you're the best. It's always great to hear you.
Appreciate you, my man, and now I'll make my way back to Charlotte from New York City.
There you go. Get to the airport. Let's go. Thanks, Reginald.
Thank you.
Reginald Walker. Talk with him next week. By the way, the Pac-12 had quietly wanted a new TV deal right around Christmas time before the bowl games began. Today at the Pac-12 championship game, Commissioner George Kliavkov said an announcement on media rights should not be expected by the end of 2022. And so their deal is going to get done later rather than sooner. So there you go. Conference is negotiating with Fox and ESPN and with a group of newcomers to the college football media space, including Amazon. Right now, the Pac-12 is the only Power 5 conference that does not have a new deal. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You know what's interesting about the Rose Bowl for a moment? I don't think people realize this. We've talked yesterday. We've got people who don't realize that the first Rose Bowl game in the current stadium, which turns 100 this year, was Penn State-USC. So 100 years later, here's a chance for Penn State to go back. But here's the other element. With the expansion to the 12-team playoff and the Rose Bowl scheduled to host a semifinal next year, this Rose Bowl coming up is the last one between a Big Ten Pac-12 team that's going to happen unless it's by complete happenstance. How about that? See all the little things you learn on this show?
Always.
Doesn't mean anything, but see all the little things you learn on the show. I mean, really. And the Pac-12 is not going to have a TV deal until 2023. Now, how early in 2023 remains to be seen. I think part of this is they're waiting to see what happens on December 14th at UCLA. But George Kliavkov did say today that the 10 schools are committed to staying together. Not 11, he said 10. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.